listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 10, Episode 17 coming your way this week. We're brought to you by our sponsors, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners are Bar One Betting. On this week's show, we're going to be joined by Coleraine, midfielder and former Shelburne and Finn Harps man. That's Mark Coyle, fresh off his Irish Cup success with Coleraine, of course, managed by friend of the pod, Rory Higgins. So we'll have lots to chat about with Mark a little bit later on the show. I was at the Louth Derby on Friday night. If you'd like to hear my post-match chats with Dara Doyle, who was standing in for Kevin Doherty. He was a bold boy, Gary. He was suspended from the touchline after that controversial penalty last week down to the RSC. So Dara stepped in to do media duty. Spoke to Dara and spoke to Dundalk boss Kieran Kilduff. If you want to hear those interviews, you can head to the members club, go to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership and you'll get our exclusive League of Ireland content there. Quick reminder, if you want to hit us up with some longer correspondence instead of getting us through the hotline on Twitter, you can get us via email, and the email address to get us on is betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. But Gary, only one place to start, and that was Bohemians bottling the Dublin Derby last night.
Yeah, I watched I watched some of the Derry Shelburne game.
Oh, what a mistake.
Yeah.
Of your own doing. That's I have no sympathy for you there. Surely you knew what was coming.
I don't know. I didn't watch that much of it now, to be fair, but I did watch I started off there, do you know what I mean?
Because it was before 15-minute delay, yeah.
And I kind of let it bleed into the Bowes Rovers game. But yeah, really disappointing game up there, but the game of the night was definitely Bowes Rovers, and thankfully it was on the TV as well, which historically wouldn't have always been a great pick.
Virgin have done all right this year. They seem to have, better match pickers than RTE, I think.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Geez, it was some awful dross on RTE down through the years. But this one didn't disappoint at all. I think it was definitely points dropped for Bowes. I don't want to say dominated the game.
They were the better team.
They were the better team, but I think the story of the game is, as anyone that watched it or that was there could see, that the fact they didn't convert the chances that they created.
A long-running problem for them.
It is, yeah. Well, look, they scored 4 on Friday, you know, against Galway. Yeah. So, like, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, but, like, in those crunch games and the big ones, you need to just, you need to get it done, and you need to make it when you can, and unfortunately they didn't do that.
Yeah, 23 shots last night, an XG of 2.54, and they lose the game, so they're just not clinical, not efficient. That's been, as we said, a long-standing problem for them.
It is, yeah, and, like, I know it's not that handy to resolve either. I thought Wheeler looked very busy.
I was gonna say I thought he was very quiet.
Yeah, on the ball. I thought he was causing a bit of a headache for the Rovers backline, but without creating too much himself.
Mm.
I didn't think Douglas James Taylor. I don't remember him doing anything.
No real
in
impact
the game, but no impact at all. So, probably a move that hasn't really worked out, would you say?
No, it hasn't. Kind of, we all expected him to. I think we were talking him up, you know, as a huge signing last summer. But the one thing I did say when he joined was that he had started to become a little bit unreliable injury wise towards the end of his time with Drogheda, and then he went to Bowes and nearly immediately started off with an injury, and it's been very stop start the whole way through for him.
It has, yeah, and probably struggling to get a long run of any description or you know, something that you probably would need after a slow start, but that hasn't really materialized for him either. So,
I mean, you look at the Bowes subs last night and the impact they had, or the impact they maybe didn't have, compared to obviously John McGovern coming on. I think we spoke about him recently for some reason on the show, and I was saying that, like, he'd probably walk into most other 11s in the country but he has to do often with a time on the Rovers bench. But McGovern comes on and gets a goal straight away.
Yeah, and a great goal it was. Great header. Really good cross as well. So, you know, obviously a really good introduction for him. And then the winner, there was a bit of an inevitability to it, I thought. Like, there was, Rovers were on the front foot. They were pushing really hard. Even Stephen Bradley said it, that they were kind of knew that the first half was bordering on unacceptable in a Dublin derby. So you could understand that they came out and reacted really well and got the winning goal. And another fantastic cross into the box. Enda Stevens gets his head on it.
And you, do you know who put that cross in?
My mate Dylan Watts.
Dylan Watts, who only came on a few minutes into the second half because Victor Osimbuna picked up an injury. He looked a bit distressed leaving the field. Hopefully he's okay. But again, the two substitutes, one scores a goal, one sets up the winner. We speak about it all the time, the strength of that Rovers squad. There it is for you.
Yeah, lines up again and makes a difference. It's a huge 3 points for them.
You know, especially off the back of that shock defeat Friday. I mean, it let me down for the charity bet last week. We all thought last week was a real minefield in terms of trying to get predictions. Now, we'll get to the predictions league later and see how we got on.
We will.
I think you done quite well again. But that was the one we all described as the banker. Shamrock Rovers home to Sligo Rovers, and they were beaten there. So this is a huge win for Rovers in Dalymount last night.
Yeah, it was, but like, I think I know lots been said about the squad down through the years. Like, there hasn't been a huge bag of turnover.
No.
Across probably the spine of the team to a degree. I know Jack Byrne had a little sojourn out in Dubai. And they have replaced players really well. Like, you know, Poom was there for a couple of years, was he? And then Healy comes in and there's, you know, really good additions being brought in all the time. And, you know, they, you know, losing Friday, winning Monday, no matter who they're playing, isn't exactly unknown territory for them. Like, they have the ability to do that. They know exactly what they need to do, and they probably would have identified a lot of the problems that they had on Friday. So not exactly, you know, oh my God, all hands to the pump here. It would have been definitely a blip and definitely a surprising result. Huge result for Sligo, my God. I think if this was a full bank holiday of fixtures, we would have been saying that they were probably, would you have edged them into winners, Shamrock Rovers, because of the Dublin Derby win?
I suppose, yeah, it's nearly worth an extra point given the context of the game. I suppose looking back to Friday then, Rovers beaten at home by Sligo Rovers, as we said there. But the same old yarn, Pats didn't capitalise. They drew away to Derry City in what was another absolutely desperate game at Celtic Park. Today, we put out the tweet about James McLean lashing out another random person online. I mean, these aren't even high-profile people he's having a pop at. I think you replied to the tweet saying, this chap's got to be searching his own name to be coming across this. I just find it remarkable. A man that has over 100 appearances for his country, who faced all sorts of shit when he was over in the UK, like horrible abuse, is getting wound up by random League of Ireland fans on Instagram. It's absolutely bizarre stuff. But look, that's probably not the main story. I think the main story is Derry's continued poor performances, poor results.
And I think it's more interesting than Derry's football anyway. I know that for a fact.
Well, there's nothing interesting about Derry's football, that's for sure. I think you said it on the pod a couple of weeks ago, it's probably more enjoyable to watch Waterford as a Waterford fan this season. I think that really sums it up. Like, the one team I wouldn't be going out of my way to watch is Derry City. And given the caliber of player they have, that's a bizarre statement for me to be making.
Not really. They have the caliber of player, but like, they've been managed into nothing. I don't understand, like, whatever about Lynch being still in a job, that's one thing. I thought the bits of the football I did see was just was diabolical. to watch. It was
yeah. There was just was there 2,300 or so at that game last night. I know it was a Monday night, but there was obviously over 7,000 there when Rovers came to Celtic Park for the first game there a couple of weeks ago. The Derry public are voting with their feet.
Yeah, they are. I saw a lad tweeting last night of a season ticket, it, and I live in Derry, and it's not as if like they're playing 40 miles away from the Brandywell, like they're yeah, playing. Yeah. 500 yards.
I've seen a lot of people saying stuff like that, that you know they were painting the house and doing this and doing that, and usually they'd never miss a game, but they just didn't bother going because watching the paint dry would be more entertaining.
Yeah, it would be more entertaining, but like I think whatever about entertainment, I think like a lot of people that listen to the pod like aren't really interested in being entertained. They're interested in seeing their team do well and putting it up to teams and that type of thing, rather and representing where they're from, rather yeah. than being like rather than being entertained.
Well, I suppose it's helpful if you don't have one, it's helpful if you have the other, but they have neither, no results, no entertainment, and that's why people are not turning up at the
yeah true power. but like I would say I'd say all the games that Shelburne have had at home this year that they didn't win, I'd say every single Shelburne fan would have traded in entertainment for a win. Mm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, look, I think, like we've talked about Derry up and down, over and back. I don't think it's interesting anymore.
There's a few interesting things I'd like to touch on. Again, going back to James McLean, the man hasn't been in the team for weeks. Apparently, one specialist told him, you know, he has no business on a football pitch. Thankfully, he got a more positive update since then. But
just on that. That sounds like when, you know, some lad in The Simpsons died and like they brought him to a different hospital and upgraded his status to alive. Like, you know, I didn't get good news from one specialist. I went down the road to another specialist. He said, "Oh, lad, you're grand." Like, yeah, what does that mean?
He went straight into the starting 11 on Friday. That seems utterly bizarre to me, and I did, you know, push Tiernan Lynch on this when I spoke to him after the game in Dundalk earlier in the season about what exactly is James McLean bringing to this team. And as I said to you at the time, I found it very intriguing that he spoke about character and what he brings to the dressing room. He never mentioned once what he's actually bringing to the team on the field of play. And to take it away from James McLean, because that's something we've covered time and time again this season, yeah. And we don't want to end up on James McLean's Instagram story tomorrow. The other thing is Tiernan Lynch's apparent reluctance or total refusal to play a centre forward in recent times. James Clark playing through the middle as a false nine.
And he was hooked at half time.
Yeah, we've talked about some of the players that Tiernan Lynch has shown the door up there. Your Patrick Hubens, the lad down in Dundalk now, Mullen. But he still has got a striker or two at the club. Now, they're definitely not up to the calibre of the players he got rid of. But I find it utterly bizarre he will not play a centre forward.
Yeah, but you said like he got rid of players and kept players of a lower caliber.
Well, brought in players, I would say, of a lower caliber.
Yeah, well then. Well, it doesn't make a blind bit of difference if he brought them in or he found them on the road up or on the way to the ground. It just matters that, I don't think it's a stretch to say that most strikers in the league are of a lower caliber than Patrick Hooban was.
Yeah,
and yeah. I think when was the last time Derry scored a goal? Was it against Waterford a few weeks ago?
Yeah, that's so they failed to score in their last two and in three of their last four. The only two goals they've scored in that time was against the bottom team, Waterford, when, as you'll remember, Gary, they needed a last-minute goal to get a point. I mean, three consecutive draws and five draws and a loss in their last six. That is diabolical form for a team that has the resources of Derry City.
Yeah, it has, and it is. It's desperately poor, and I got a bit of a dig out there in a pod about a couple of months ago or 6 weeks ago, whatever it was. I think there's bad characters there. Where's the character now? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like of all the people that are hammering me, well, not hammering me, but you know what I mean, jibing or whatever. That couldn't give a shit. But like, where is the characters now? Where are people saying, yes, this fella deserves to wear the shirt? Like, there's lads, like, can you imagine, like, you know, the novelty of playing What's the name of the stadium they're playing in at the moment?
Celtic Park.
Celtic Park, sorry. On a Monday night, a bank holiday in the UK, by the way, an absolutely sun splitting the stones. Like, I mean, what more would you want of a Monday evening after, you know, bank holiday weekend, few pints and, you know, getting ready to go back to work or whatever. Just Derry against Shelburne. Just, I look forward to that. Like, there isn't, there's very few people in Derry that say looking forward to a Derry match.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and yeah, it's I don't know how it's going to get better. I think they really have to look at the manager situation.
Yeah.
They have to look at the James McLean situation as well, because it's only toxicity coming through there. Look, he might be a great fella around the place, but like, if you were, you know, a player, you know, squad player, or maybe you're in around the starting 11 and you flick open your Instagram and this talisman that was brought back into the club and everybody talking for weeks about it and, you know, months leading into it, would he come back to Derry and finish off his career? I think it was always on the cards, but to see it eventually happen is always great. And next year he's having a row online with some lad that no one knows. You know, calling him out, like, you know, and then you're thinking the same as me, like, did he get up this morning and, like, you know, send the kids off to school and start searching his name on Instagram? Like, you know, it's crazy, like, you know, and like, you know, imagine them walking into training then, you know, 10 o'clock this morning or 11 o'clock this morning, like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, so yeah,
bizarre.
It is bizarre. And yeah, I'd be very frustrated if I was a Derry fan. I don't,
well, they're just pissing away their season.
Yeah, but well, no, I think the season's over.
I think so, yeah.
I'm not sure what good looks like now. Like, what is
9 points outside of the top three, so you're already hoping you have to finish in the top four and either win the cup or have a cup result that goes your way. Like, for, again, I keep repeating myself, for a team with Derry's resources to be in that position after 19 games, 4 wins from 19 games, that is... It is bordering. It is bordering on unacceptable if it isn't already.
Yeah, like, what's? I'd love to know what's going on in the conversation. Like, I could say Friday's the last round of games before the break, right?
Yeah.
And you'd imagine there'd be a few chit chats around the place with chairman and boards.
I think a mid-season review would be commonplace at clubs.
So, yeah, we get one in work, like, you know, a lot of us, you know what I mean? Like,
what does a mid-season review look like at Derry? I think a lot of Derry fans, they keep rehashing the line after a bad result. You see a lot of them using the joke about, I hear we were great in training again this week, because I think that's something that Tiernan Lynch has kind of referenced in interviews. You know, is that why he's going into the mid-season review to speak to the chat? Oh, you know... we're sixth in the league and we've only won 4 games, but, you know, we're looking really good in training. Oh, that's grand, here, and go ahead. You know, keep her lit. Here's another bag of money for transfers.
Yeah, because what, like, surely to God, he's going to be coming with the cap in hand to the chairman to be like...
This, like, going into the summer window, if he's still there, this will be his third or fourth window, I would say.
This will be his fourth window, yeah.
And I would say the vast majority, we've talked about before, he got the summer window last mid-season. He got it much better than his pre-season window, where he brought in a lot of veterans that didn't really work. You're looking at the most recent window gone by, and who's come in and done well in that Derry team?
James Clark.
Yeah, and he's probably not getting the best out of him positionally. I mean, Darren Markey's been very disappointing, played out on the left a lot of the times. Sleven, we've barely seen him. There's very few players that have come in there and have improved that team.
Yeah, I was just thinking there, like, Clark is the only lad that of note that has, you know, done anything that I can think of.
Yeah. James McLean's been a massive disappointment. Paddy McLean's been in and out of the team. I would say that his recruitment has been all over the place since he's been
the
Derry manager. But he's only in there because of injury. It's not like he's forced his way in. I think overall, you take all the windows, the 3 or 4 windows he's had, I think his recruitment has been a disaster. It's been very, as I've said before, it's been very scattergun. Like, the first window he comes in, he's all these veterans and then realizes that was wrong in the summer and rectifies it a bit. And then this season it was like, go out and sign the Galacticos. Like there doesn't seem to be any sort of approach where you go back to this a couple of seasons ago and when I suppose the checkbook was first opened there, Rory Higgins was kind of strategic about what he was doing. You remember the likes of Ryan Graydon, who was playing at Wembley there yesterday, came out on the wrong side for Salford, unfortunately, but likes of Ryan Graydon came in and he was signing players with a bit of upside and a bit of potential. And then I think he admitted himself, he tried to push the project along too quickly and brought in players that maybe didn't fit what he was building at the time. And I just think that's continued with Tiernan Lynch. I think the recruitment's been an absolute disaster at Derry.
Yeah, it has, and probably I'd say like to a degree a bit hamstrung with the James McLean deal. I'd say like, you know, that was kind of foisted on him, but it was hardly, oh Jesus, like, you know, I'm not comparing James McLean to Ronaldo, but like I thought that whole thing with Ronaldo and United was total bollocks. Like he was not the problem at all, ever, Ronaldo. But you're looking at this now and he's like, right, we'll have to put him in the team. He's, for all we know, he could be getting told to put him in the team. Do you know what I mean? And then he has to drop him into the team. It doesn't work. The position's all over the place. You know, I'd say he's been directly responsible for probably, what, conceding 5 goals this year? James McLean. Has he scored, actually?
No.
What's the positive? Like, there's very, very few positives here at all. I think the new pitch in the Brandywell is the biggest positive. We haven't seen any. We haven't seen the result of that yet.
No.
I think I don't think there a change will come in the break. But that's a huge risk for Derry. It's another window gone, and yeah. I'm not sure what the decision would be there.
We'll wait and see. Just recapping Friday's results. Galway 2-4. A couple of bangers in that game from Dawson Coy and from Ed McCarthy. Just on Bowes again, do you find it strange that maybe Dawson Coy hasn't pushed more to be involved in that Qatar game coming up on Thursday? He seems happy enough that he's going to sit that out and go to Canada. But I would have thought if he was going to get a cap, the Qatar game was the opportunity. Of course, we saw the Rovers goalkeeper play last night as well, when that wasn't expected. So it's obviously not ideal that
this
game.
Why was that not expected?
I think he was expected to be with the Ireland camp yesterday and then turned up in the Rovers 11. But
honestly, I'm going on Thursday, but like, who cares? I know it's a cap and everything like that, but like,
should there have been a bit of common sense applied, though? Should those games have been postponed and let them go and get their chance to get a cap?
No. Like, I don't know why these games have been played in, why this game has been played on Thursday. Like, are Qatar going to the World Cup?
They are going to the World Cup, yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Getting re-traumatized all over again. And Canada are going, obviously, because they're in the World Cup.
Host nation, yeah.
The host nation, so... fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the Qatar game falls outside a window. I'm not sure why that's happened. So that's obviously complicated things, because if it had been in an official window, then those games would have been postponed.
But could it not have been done Tuesday? That Qatar game. When's the Canada game?
The Canada game's the 6th of June.
Right. So I suppose, you know,
yeah. Either way, it was going to be outside a window. It would have to be into next week for it to be in a window. So look, I just think as League of Ireland people, we've been crying out for players to get their chance. And when they do, then we're not playing ball and I'm not releasing players.
I'm not crying to get players to get their chance in the League of Ireland. I'm not crying for that. Are you really crying for that now?
No, I'd be of the same opinion as you that there's no one in the league at that level just yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like everybody was falling through the place, and Jack Byrne played a game against, or Graham Burke or whoever it was that played a game against New Zealand. I think one of them scored or whatever. But like, it's also New Zealand, lad. You know, it's not. You know, it's not at that level. So, yeah, I just don't. picking them in for a game, a couple of friendlies, like, what's the point? Like, I don't see a bag of point to it at all.
Okay. Yeah, just if I was Dawson Devine, I thought I'd be pushing more to be involved there, because I do think that his chance is probably Thursday. I'm not sure whether he'll get on.
Well, who's given up a home derby against Rovers to play Qatar?
I'd be looking for my cap, 100%.
I know, I understand that, but like...
Also improves your profile massively as a player.
I'd be dubious about that now, but I know what you mean, and like, for on a personal note, the it's the pinnacle of the game, playing for your country. So, but still, I don't know, just with the timing and stuff like that, I wouldn't just be mad about handing over a Dublin derby at the same time. But maybe I'm looking into it too deeply. But yeah.
Anyway, looking at the other results Friday, Derry 0, Pats 0, we touched on that. Shells 2, Waterford 1. Is there signs of Shells turning a corner at last? I know they only drew last night in Derry, but...
Well, that wasn't a football match last night in Derry. I would say, like, they still needed a 94th-minute winner by Boyd. I could do a trim of those sideburns, by the way. But... I suppose with the way that they've gone this season at home, it didn't matter at all how it was done. I think, I'm not going to say they've turned a corner at like that, but like, they've gotten the...
Three wins, three draws last six.
Yeah, I know. It hasn't been too badly. I think it was just the home results that were really dire.
Yeah, they've got the best away record, haven't they?
They have the best away record. So like, I think it's not just as handy to say I was panic stations or anything like that. I was just more, just boys, we have to win something at home at some point, you know? So the fact that it came against Waterford is, doesn't really matter who it came against. I suppose it was going on for that long. Just win against anybody and be done with it. So they did that. And yeah, like, a very decent weekend for them, to be fair. Four points.
I mean, they're only a point behind Dundalk in fourth there. So if they can get their act together at home, you'd expect them to finish top four, maybe even put the pressure on the top three. Yeah. So, that needs to be the aim for Shell.
I think it'll shake out a bit of a scrap for third between Bows and Shells. I think with the way the season has gone for Shells, I think they're going to rectify that home results. I think I think they'll be my favourites for third anyway.
Two teams that need a striker. I think whoever can rectify that the best in the summer, Shells and Bows, I think that'll be it.
But Shells haven't been able to rectify that for a very long time. You know, like, if Boydie isn't injured, he's probably suspended. You know?
I suppose Bows have been the same really since Georgie Kelly and Afolabi. They've not had a proven number nine. So look, every club is crying out for them. Another team that's crying out for one, Gary, is Drogheda, I feel. I know, yeah. Mark Doyle re-signed in the off-season. They play a loo up there as well at times, but I was at the game on Friday against Dundalk. It was exactly what I expected, a really scrappy local derby. Thankfully, it passed off peacefully. I did point out it seems to be better policed over in Drogheda for whatever reason
just exactly on that point, you've said that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's not the first time I've heard.
Well, as I said to you before, when the riot kicked off in 24 in Dundalk, and the riot police then were lying in the streets afterwards, and I said to one of them, like, you know, what's the point of you all being out here when there was a riot
inside that?
He was like, that's not our job. Whereas full time Friday, the armed support unit lined the pitch in Drogheda, so they can do it, but the cops in Dundalk don't seem to want to do that. So I don't know, is that better communication or relationships between the clubs or whatever? So I know Dundalk obviously had a big bill to the cards that time when shit hit the fan money wise, so maybe that played a part in it. I don't know, but look, it passed off peacefully. I hear there was hand scanners been used actually to search both sets of fans going in. That's something I've not come across before. Now, there was plenty of pyro in the home end, there was none in the away end, so whether it helped clamp down on the pyro or not, I'm not sure, but there you go. Anyway, just well done to the organisers. It passed off peacefully, which is good. But the game itself, Dundalk, the much better team first half. Very similar to that Bows game I was at in Oriel recently, where Dundalk went one ahead. And if you felt they got the second, that they would have won the game comfortably. But couldn't get that second goal. They did hit the crossbar when they were 1-0 up. Dropped off in the second half, and that's becoming a bit of a habit. I did speak to Kieran Kilduff about that after. Again, it's on the Members Club if anyone wants to listen to that. But they don't seem to be able to string together a full 90-minute performance at the minute. Drogheda came back into the game in the second half, scored a set piece, as I predicted they would, even though they were without Conor Keeley, which I didn't know going into the game. I think he's pulled a groin or something like that, so probably the summer break coming at a right time for him and for Drogheda, but they still scored a set-piece goal, which is another concern for Dundalk, conceding a lot of them. But no, a draw would have been a fair result in the end, but it did strike me, Drogheda, they're really lacking up front at times when they're under pressure and they're looking to play an out ball and have someone stick it up there. They're not the most physically imposing. They're definitely not the tallest, Alua and Doyle, who really didn't play well, I didn't feel. So that's something Drogheda really need to rectify in the summer window.
Yeah, there was I think we mentioned it, or we didn't mention it, but we mentioned it to each other, that great chance there for, you said, was it Cruz that ran?
Cruz came on and ran past three or four men, yeah.
Yeah, and like cut it back, perfectly eludes the keeper with the cutback, but Doyle just isn't there. Yeah. He's there, but he's not there. And I think that clinicalness, that right place, right time, it's just not a feature in the Drogheda side at the minute. And, you know, you highlighted, excuse me, Alua and Doyle not converting enough up front, which is definitely scarpered their season a bit. Really enjoyed the finish from Arubi, though. Great goal.
He was brilliant, Gary. I was sitting with a few Drogheda folk, and everyone was very, very impressed. Everyone said the same thing. Geez, Dundalk will do well to keep him. Now, I think they've got an option on his contract for another season, but I think big clubs are going to come knocking soon, because, geez, the amount of headers he won, the leap, the spring he has to get off the ground, the way he holds the ball up, he can hold off two or three players. And as I said before, it's not just the fact that he can hold off two or three players, he can hold them off and then spray it past the far side of the pitch and then get on his bike and try and get a return pass. And he's really added the finishing to his game in the last while as well. So, no, he's been very, very impressive this season at Ruby, and he was excellent again. He took his goal really, really well
on
Friday. We touched on Shamrock Rovers' defeat against Sligo Rovers. Big win for Sligo Rovers there.
Yeah, it was class. Like, I must, just on the Sligo Rovers result, like, heading into the window, who are they playing Friday? Just remind me.
Who are they playing this coming Friday?
Yeah.
They are playing a home to Bowes.
Yeah, like, that looks like a bit of a, definitely an opportunity to get at least a point. Well, look, every game is an opportunity to get at least a point, but I thought the result on Friday, especially in the last minute winner, was just brilliant. Real smash and grab, 3 points. So obviously huge for them, and definitely chose a nice face on the table.
Yeah, 9 clear of Waterford, within a point of Drogheda and Galway, and within 3 of Derry, I will add as well, by the way.
Oh yeah, well, look, you know, they're probably playing each other soon enough, another 0-0 on the cards.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, a really massive result for Sligo, and what more could you ask for?
Look, that was the Premier Division action over the last few days. Before we move on to talk about the First Division, there was a game last night. We're recording here Tuesday night, but on Monday night there was the Munster Derby, another one, Treaty United against Cork City. We'll talk about that in a second and all the Friday games. But before all of that, let's bring you our guest this week, a cracking interview with the former Fit Harps Shelburne midfielder, Mark Coyle, who's now won the Cup recently up the north with Cole Rain. So Mark Coyle very kindly joins us on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Mark Coyle, Irish Cup winner. Congratulations.
Ah, cheers, Kieran, yeah. It was great. Great day out. The game probably was a typical final. I think we didn't really perform to the best we did, but that we can, sorry. But we got the job done. That was the most important thing.
Yeah, I suppose when someone like yourself goes up the north, you've won a League of Ireland medal, people might think, how much does an Irish Cup mean? But You've been playing football a long time, and that's only, I suppose, your second big trophy success as a player. So I imagine the novelty hasn't worn off just yet of picking up big medals and big trophies.
No, you're 100% right. I spent a long time, as you said, playing. Well, my time at Harps, a lot of the time we were celebrating avoiding relegation, which was great for the club at the time, and we done well. We had a good team there. Shells then, obviously, we had the cup final that first year, and we went from strength to strength, so he sort of got used to having a wee bit more success. And a huge part of me joining Coleraine was the ambition of the club, the ambition of the manager, and I wanted to be a part of that. Obviously, at the end of the day, you look back when you finish up and, yeah, everything's nice, but you want a few medals in your back pocket as well. So the novelty most definitely has more off, and I was glad that we got over the line.
And working under Rory, how have you found that?
Yeah, it's been a breath of fresh air for me personally. Just how he operates, the type of man he is, and as a coach as well. Look, it's been great for me. I feel rejuvenated in a big sense, and I'm just looking forward to now really getting down and to work now pre-season and having a full season under. Look, everybody knows the ambition that we have, and hopefully now we can go and make that happen.
And obviously, lots of familiar names in that Coleraine team from the League of Ireland. Will Patching, yourself, Mark Connolly, several other names there as well that we'd all know. Does that add to the dynamic of the dressing room? Did that make it easier to fit in? Or I suppose these are players you were going up against maybe more so than playing with. So how did you find stepping into a new environment like that?
I must say, though, that they were all top class with me. I'd say it took me a bit of time to adjust. And I think that was largely down to Shells being such a huge part of my life for 4 years, you know, and obviously being the captain there, you're comfortable, you know your place within the team. So coming into a new environment like that, you're trying to find your own feet and work your way into the team. And I took my time, I would say, adjusting in that sense, but the lads and the staff and everybody involved with Coleraine were great with me. It's a top-class setup they have there. Some of the facilities they have actually shocked me, and the way the club's run is extremely well run. So for me, it was quite easy in that sense, but I'd say the biggest part was probably myself, was just adjusting, because it was such a huge change for me. And I felt then probably maybe a month and a half, 2 months in, I really found my feet, and I started to show that on the pitch then.
I suppose we've seen players like Patrick Hooban go up there in recent times as well, and even there's more players from the UK, from England and Scotland starting to go up north, which is I suppose something new in the league as well. There seems to be that bit more investment at clubs like Coleraine and I suppose Larne and Linfield and elsewhere. Do you feel the standards of the league is improving with players like yourself and Patton and other names heading up there?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's improving 100%. As you said, there's a lot of top names in the league. There's a lot of quality within the league, even names then that probably weren't known to the League Ireland as much. Like, I always chat with Joel Cooper, but he plays for us, and for me, he's a top player. He shocked me. There's a number of others within the team that did the same. And then you're coming up against top teams, the likes of Glens, Larne and Linfield are obviously the full-time teams, and you do see a slight difference, but that's not to say that the part-time teams don't have top individuals within them as well. I do feel like it's improving and it's going on the right trajectory. It might be a wee bit behind the League of Ireland in terms of investment across the league, but I feel like it's going in the right direction. And look, as you said, some of them big names coming in most definitely help that.
I'm just looking at your wiki page here. I want to make sure this is correct, because you've been around a long time, it seems. But 29, is that all you are still?
Yeah, 29, yeah.
She's still a nipper. What's the plan for the next few years? I know you signed a 2.5-year contract up there. Would you see yourself staying in that league, or could you envisage coming back to play in the League of Ireland? We're playing against Shelburne. Is that something that maybe put you off coming back to the league?
At the minute, I'm extremely happy at Coleraine, and I'll probably give a politically correct answer here, you know, because you never know what happens in football, so I'm not going to say yes or no, because I probably wouldn't envision myself playing for Coleraine at this stage. But how everything worked out, it was perfect for me, and it was exactly what I needed, and I'm extremely happy to be here. So for me, look, I wouldn't rule it out in the future, but I do know that I'm happy, and I know I've made the right decision for myself and for my family. And at the minute, that's all I'm sort of focused on.
Yeah, your old boss, Damien, said he'd only ever managed Shelburne. You're not going to declare you'll only ever play for Shelburne in the league, is it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah, because the way he's talking now, it doesn't seem like that might be the case. But yeah, look, you can't burn bridges, especially in these leagues. You know, for us, it's a small league. Everybody knows everybody, so you don't want to speak out of turn in that sense.
That's fair enough. I suppose just to go back to the start of your career with Harps, as a Longford fan, I would have
gone up to Bally Buffet plenty of times and seen you in the midfield, and you're, I suppose, that sort of player, real combative midfielder opposition fans would hate, but you'd love to have a player like Mark Coyle in your team. But if you had said to me in, you know, 2014, 2015, when I first came across you, that this lad's going to go on to be one of the best number sixes in the league and is going to be part of a league winning team and play in the group stages of the Conference League, not sure I would have believed you. Would you have believed it yourself? Did you always have belief in your ability to rise to the very top?
I suppose I wouldn't have really, no. I felt, I feel like it was COVID time, really, to be honest with you. I think the part-time football and playing and working full-time was a real strain at a stage. And then COVID hit, and I remember thinking to myself, it's either one or the other, you know, like, let's go all in here, or, you know, just go and live your life a bit, because I felt like I wasn't getting the best out of either. And then, I suppose, deep down, yeah, you always have that belief where you can go in and prove yourself against the best. And I probably did have that. Most definitely I had that. But for me then, it was probably just that switch of mindset, to be honest with you, where I was like, right, I'm all in here. And then that's when sort of things went from strength to strength for me. That 21 season where we actually had a great year as Harps and we probably should have finished higher, led to me obviously going and down to Shelburne. And when that call came, it was tough to make the decision, because Harps meant a lot to me. You know, that's who gave me my chance. Ollie Horgan, especially, he's such a great man. He was such a great man to play for. So they were all factors. But at the end of the day, I knew I would regret not going down and playing under Duff and seeing what could happen. So it was an easy choice at the same time.
And did Damien play a big part in building up your belief that you could be one of the top players in your area?
Yeah, 100%. I would say that, and also the fact that when I went down there, was like learning how to play football again in a lot of the ways. You know, the coaching was just, it's top. I don't think you'll get it any better across Europe, to be honest with you. You know, obviously there is levels, and he was certainly a much higher level coach than I ever experienced before. So again, it took time to adjust, but I felt like that buying in and embracing the discomfort of learning how to play and doing what he wanted and then buying into the demands he put on you was a massive part of me improving, yeah.
Am I right in saying, Harps, you took a season away and went back to Cockhill Celtic?
Yeah, oh, to be honest with you, I think right up until I was 19, 20, I would have left and played Gaelic. So that's also part of the problem, was that I couldn't decide which one I preferred nearly. I was playing a bit of county, and look, I love playing for my local club. You know, you're playing with your mates in Burt, and I love that part of it as well. And we were lucky enough to win intermediate championship there, which was another pull for me to stay at Gaelic, and then we small things. So right up until I was 20, and then I came back to Harps after that time at Cockhill, because obviously I left to play Gaelic, and then the Gaelic season finished and I went and played for Cockhill, and I sort of found a bit of love for it there again at Cockhill. I owe them a lot as well. It was a great dress room, a great coach under Gavin Cullen, and I really found my love for football a bit. And then it was actually Paul Higgerty, who I think he came to watch one of, I think it was an intermediate cup game. And after that, himself, I don't know if Ollie really was keen on forgiving me for leaving for Gaelic, but I think it was Higgsy, in fairness to him, that convinced him. And after that, then, look, I was fully committed to football.
Yeah, so you easily could have gone down a different road, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Look, and a big part of it was I went into a year at the senior panel of Donegal, and to be honest with you, I was miles off it in terms of physicality and mentality at that stage of my life. I just wasn't ready for it. But it was a great learning curve then, when you can sort of get past the hurt and rejection of it, where I sort of learned so much and I knew I had so much to do myself. And I found then that COVID was a great help in that, because we had all that time off, and I really put in the hard yards then, I would say. And that was a massive part of it.
That's interesting. I suppose you were good enough, obviously, as a Gaelic footballer to get into the county panel and one of the top county teams in the country. Do you think there's much of a difference in terms of how they prepare and their levels of athleticism, professionalism compared to League of Ireland? Because I know a few intercounty lads, and like the way they train, the way they eat, it's to me they look as good as a professional footballer. It'd be interesting to get your point of view in terms of the differences between both.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah, I do feel like physically that they are much ahead of us in that sense, you know, but that's because they put so much priority on it and they know they need it because everybody else in the country is doing it. Mm. Whereas you can look at football in a different sense and you look at the top pros, it's not all about the gym, you know, it's a different sport in a lot of ways. Like, it's like nearly comparing rugby to Gaelic or to football. You don't need to be as big, you know, there's a lot of different facets to the game that you need to focus on more so. And I do feel like football is a harder sport in the sense that it's with your feet.
Mm.
Whereas if you're an extremely good athlete and can catch the ball, kick it, you're going to have a great opportunity to make a county panel. And that's where, but there's no denying that the commitment that they have to the county, to the commitment that they have to everything involved with it is extreme, and they're streets ahead in the sense of what they're willing to give up, especially for not being paid.
Mm, that's very interesting. I suppose you've been lucky to work under some great managers. You mentioned the late Ollie Horgan, Damien Duff. You're working under Rory now as well. You've definitely worked under some top bosses.
Yeah, 100%. And look, they've all had major influences on me in different ways. And even Rory already, with only worked with him for 6 months, that what he's given me so far, I guess that's why it makes me excited for the year coming up. But yeah, look, I owe them all so much. Ollie's the one that gave me my chance, but how he dealt with me, because as you could tell there was times I was probably a nightmare in the sense that I didn't even know what I wanted to do myself, but he was patient. And just watching him how to work part-time teams where he knew when to be lenient on people, and in the sense that, you know, people driving up from Dublin, you might have got a day off here, day off there, and how he dealt with that situation and getting the best out of all of us at the same time. And knowing how to win matches had a real influence on me. And then obviously, you know yourself what Duff did for me in terms of bringing me to another level. And obviously, being lucky enough that we went and won that league. So, look, I'm very grateful. And I know I think Roy Keane always says that you do need that bit of luck at times, especially in sport. And at the end of the day, football is a game of opinions. And one manager can love you, another manager doesn't. So, for me, I was lucky in a lot of ways.
You mentioned when you went to Shelburne, you found the standard of coaching extremely high there compared to what you come across in the past. I'd imagine Joey O'Brien played a massive part in that.
Yeah, he was a great coach, in fairness to him. Yeah, the amount of value that you learned off him on the training pitch was a lot, especially defensively. And it's the demands and the detail that himself and Duffer went into on a daily basis that made us so hard to beat, I think, and obviously brought us on and improved us as individuals as well along the way. And ultimately, that's what led to getting Shells back on top.
Have you been keeping an eye on the league since you moved away?
Yeah, look, obviously I would. I probably wouldn't watch it as much as I would have thought. And maybe that's just because I feel like the way I am, you know, you get in your own wee bubble and you sort of focus on yourself and the things around you. But I would definitely keep an eye. Look, I'm extremely close to a lot of the lads at Shells. And as I said before, you were chatting about Aidan Ervin, you know, and lads that I played with throughout the league, the like of Tariq there at Dundalk now as well, Conor Cairns, you know, there's a number of people that I would still keep in contact with. So yeah, look, you're always looking out to see how everybody's getting on and seeing how the league going. And look, it looks like it's another entertaining season and everybody's beating everybody, so that's what you want as a viewer, and it makes for an interesting season.
Mm, it's just for our listeners, I suppose, they can't see this conversation that's happening, but I'm obviously in my Longford Town jersey and we were talking beforehand about a famous Longford man, Aidan Ervin. You and him shared digs at Shelburne, but am I right in saying before that there would have been a bit of a rivalry there? Like, you would have clashed a lot on the pitch when it was Longford against Finn Harps. So what was that like when you were thrown in together?
Yeah, look, I remember when Duffer told me he was signing Aidan Ervin, I was a bit apprehensive about it because I knew that that rivalry sort of existed. And the I think he had a wee bit more hatred for me than I had for him, maybe. That's what I'll say, anyway. But, nah, look, it's probably just the way we both played and we're both combative, and maybe then a wee bit of mouth on what happened on the pitch. And but that's all. And for me, it's if it happens on the pitch, stays on the pitch. You know, like the amount of people that are so different on the pitch to off the pitch is nearly 90% of people, you know. And we're definitely two of them. And look, I was lucky when he came in. We both sort of clicked straight away. We had a great house at the time. It was me, himself, Shane Griffin, and Dan Hawkins and Stan. And I would say me, Shane, and he would have been very close. You know, we would have done a lot together. And he's a great lad, and he's a good laugh. He's always up for a bit of crack. And he's just, to be honest with you, I nearly took him. He would say this himself, you know, nearly acted like a big brother to him. I know I'm not that much older than him, but I felt probably because it was his first time away while I was away at college, and I would have known what it's like. It was his first time away from home. So I would have looked after him in a lot of ways, but also he would have looked after me. And something that I was lucky enough to have, and we still keep in contact now.
Very good. I suppose just on Shells this season, were you surprised with their slow start and the amount of goals they were giving away? Very un-Shelburne-like and very unlike what we saw last season.
Yeah, look, I was. I feel like the squad that they have there is as good as it gets within the League of Ireland. So they know themselves that they probably haven't reached the levels that they expected this year. And maybe it's a hangover from the fact that you're qualified and we played right up until December 18th, was it?
Yeah.
So you get a 3-week break and you're back in for pre-season. And, you know, when you're not used to that, it can be a bit of a strain on the body and mentally as well. So maybe that's what could be most definitely a factor in the sense of the mistakes that were happening and the goals they were giving away. But I feel like they've turned a corner in recent weeks, you know, and I just know the quality within the group that they will keep going, and I wouldn't be surprised if they push on, especially after the break. I always feel like the League of Ireland season is a bit carnage until the break, and then it seems to hit a bit of a more of a flow of, you seem to see the difference where the teams will end up at the end of the year.
And speaking of that European campaign, the final of the Conference League is actually coming up tomorrow night, and one of the teams you faced, Crystal Palace, is in that. They're playing Rayo Vallecano. You played centre half, I think, that night in Tala. I was there, and let's just say it was a difficult night at the office. Was that Palace team like something you'd never seen before in terms of their pace, their power, their athleticism? Had you ever come up against anything like that before?
You know what? I felt like we played Zurich the year before in the qualifiers, and I felt more out of depth there, I would say, than I did against Palace. But I feel like that's because we improved so much as a team within that year that maybe, you know, that gap wasn't as big then. But most definitely, look, I feel like the pitch probably played a factor in the fact that it slowed them down maybe as well, because the pitch was a bit, I remember it was winter, and obviously it was caught up a bit, and they would have been used to them pristine pitches that they would get in the Premier League. But even, yeah, like I always say this, it's physically, yeah, but I felt like you can match them at times, but it was more mentally and their first touch. If you didn't read what they were going to do, they were gone. You know, it was so quick. It was so sharp. It was one touch, bang, and it was right into, everything was perfect. It was right into the player's path. You know, there's no real mistakes, especially on the ball. And for me, yeah, look, it was the mental side of it and the sharpness of the first touch and their passing that was a real eye-opener. And look, it's obviously where us as a country we want to get to, but I would say we could be a wee bit far off yet, but look, we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I suppose just to cap it all off, when you look back over the last few years, you've crammed quite a good bit in. You had a great spell with Finn Harps where you managed to keep them in the league consistently, make the move to Shells. You're in a cup final, I think, in your first year. Were you in that team? You were?
Yeah.
Cup final, then win the league, then Conference League football, and now an Irish Cup. So it's been a fair old roller coaster, but very much in the up sense over the last few years.
Yeah, look, I've been lucky enough in that sense. And as I said, like, I do feel like luck plays a part in it. You know, I was lucky enough to join Shells at that stage, and lucky enough that at that time Harps were right at it. You know, under Ollie Horgan, we were a real tough team to beat. And we love that. And then Shells, you know, we got the cup finals, you said, and we went then the next year, got into Europe for the first time in ages, and then went and won the league the year after, and then got, you know, to see that, look back on it, yeah, it's great. But I feel like at the time, and even now, it's sort of about like, oh, what's next? It's very hard to, look, don't get me wrong, and I've heard enough about, you know, you have to enjoy it as it's happening. And I do try to do that. But I feel like that's something more I would look back on when I finish up and say, oh, yeah. But that's, for now, it's like, as you said, it's trying to go now next year and improve on winning a cup. And how we do that's down to us.
Well, I suppose the obvious target is the league. You only finished 3 points behind Larne, and look, very few Irish league teams have qualified for Europe down the years as well. So you're going to be in European qualifiers. It'd be nice to make a bit of history with Coleraine as well. So there's definitely plenty to aim at in the next couple of years.
Yeah, 100%. And as I said before, that's the ambition of the club and the owner and the manager. So it's definitely where you want to be as a player as well, and around them environments. And well, we know it's going to be no easy task. Like it's a long year. To win a league, you have to be consistent throughout the year. And last year, Corey and ourselves, we weren't enough. Yeah, we pushed them tight at the end, but it was too little too late. So we know we have to be at it right from the start. And there's a lot of top teams, as I said before, within that league. And it's also very difficult to beat the teams that are in the other half. It's much like the League Ireland in that sense, where on any given day, a team can turn you over. So you have to be right at it. And we're well aware of that. And then in the sense of Europe, look, for us, it's about embracing that now. It's probably going to be new for a lot of lads. And it's about enjoying that and making the most of it.
Very good. Look, Mark, thanks so much for joining us and sharing all that. And best of luck for next season.
Cheers, Kieran. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We really hope you're enjoying this week's episode. Feel free to show your support by leaving a rating or review wherever you're listening. You can also support the show by buying us a virtual beer or coffee via buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI, where you can also join our members club for all the latest exclusive BTS content.
Right, on to the First Division, Gary. And as I said, there was a game last night. It was a Munster derby between Treaty United and Cork City. And Cork City ran out 1-0 winners to go along with their 3-0 win on Friday against Athlone Town. So after that little blip over the bank holiday weekend a few weeks ago, it's very much normal service resumed for the Rebel Army.
Yeah, it is. You know, another decent result. I think it was a penalty that was the difference last night. That's a couple of penalties that Treaty have given away. They could do giving away another couple on Friday coming. look, yeah, normal service resume for Cork.
Yeah, I hadn't checked the league table in a while. It's a 12-point gap now, so
It's all over.
It's all over. It's a bit like the predictions league. It's all over.
There we go. Yep,
we'll talk about the scrap for the playoff places, because that's really all there is to talk about in the First Division this season. Friday night, as we said, Athlone Town beaten 3-0 by Cork City. I know they're playing the champions elect there, but I do think Athlone are the most vulnerable team. Well, actually, they're no longer in the top five, so there you go. I did say a few weeks ago, I think they're the one that's most vulnerable to falling out of the playoff places, and they have done so. Kerry played out a 2-2 draw with Bray. Wexford beat UCD by 2 goals, so one that was maybe something of a surprise. Finn Harps came from 2-0 down, which is minutes to go, to earn a point against Longford, and Treaty United were beaten 2-1 by a last-minute Dylan McGlade penalty on Friday against Cove. Yeah. So yeah, penalty paying for Treaty United over the last few days. But
it was a penalty. I think I don't know if it was McLean himself that was packed down. It was ball in from the left and just a touch into space, and
Dylan McGlade has 8 goals this season, only one fewer than the top goal scorer Handon Pongo at Cork City. McGlade didn't play for the first few weeks, because even when Longford played them the first time around, and obviously I do my commentary notes, I had the Cove squad list in front of me, and he wasn't on it, so I thought he had actually left the club. His first appearance of the season didn't come until round 5, so he missed the first 5 matches of the season, and he's the joint second top goal scorer in the division. So
how many of them are pens?
There's probably been a few. I don't have that in front of me now, but we've seen it from him before at this level. 10 goals in 2019 with Bray, 14 the year before that with Longford. He does have the ability to score goals at this level, Dylan McGlaidon. The fact that they've lost the goals of Barry Coffey and a few other players, you know, he's proven to be an important signing for them. I know he was there in the second half of last season, but they've probably done well to keep him.
Yeah, no, they have, especially with the changes, we'll say, in Cove, with the manager leaving so late last year and all the rest of it. So probably one of their better bits, well, not probably one of their, well, that is their better bit of business that they've done. But great return after missing the opening, you know, lock of game. So fair play to them.
What happened to Longford the other night?
Yeah, I don't know. a bit emotional, it has to be said. I didn't get to travel to the game, unfortunately. My travelling companion wasn't available. Thank you very much. Decided to go to another draw. But yeah, I thought Longford were by far and away the better team throughout the game, really. Harps are a poor side. Longford really,
they're only a point worse off than Longford. They can't be that poor of a side.
Well, I'm talking about the game. They've played twice
this season and they've drawn both games, so they can't be that much worse than Longford.
No, actually Finn Harris bet Longford in
there.
In
you Longford, go, thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a very bad week for us. We were in Prague, lost, came back home, and then watched that shite. I'm telling you how I see it. Do you know what I mean? It's Longford probably should have been 3-4, 5-0 up. Don't really remember Keane Moore having to make much in the way of saves. And then two disappointing goals. From a Longford perspective, the first one, cross came in and the defender actually headed it on to the goal scorer. If he didn't touch it, it would have went straight, probably out for a throw on the far side. And then the equaliser, defender goes to clear it and it's just blocked down and it just squirms into the net.
Two goals you couldn't really believe unless you see them.
The ball was cleared initially and like a Harps player goes to retrieve it and he just puts boot to ball. Do you know what I mean? Like there was no.
Do you look at those? There are two goals. You couldn't do that if you tried.
No.
So is that just pure misfortune or do you need to look at them as two calamitous goals to give away?
I think I'd be looking in the more in the line of misfortune because, you know, if the defender was an inch higher, he would have got a bit more of that ball and it would have landed right in your man's head.
The concern though, Longford do, they've started to look a bit susceptible under a cross, haven't they? A lot of goals from wide areas of late.
Yeah, Athlone, we'll say there a couple of the last bank holiday.
Set piece against Cork, albeit down to 10 men.
Yeah, but that was still a set piece. Like Longford actually looked fairly okay in that game. And then first 3 minutes into the second half, a corner is given away and it's headed into the back post.
Sorry, so it was two set pieces against Cork then, wasn't it?
No, the second goal was a runaway goal.
It was, yeah, sorry. Apologies. Yeah. They actually have the second best defensive record in the league now because UCD have that three goals they conceded against Bray and the two against Wexford.
Four against Bray.
So yeah, they conceded a few. So Longford have the second best record defensively in the league after Cork City, but they've actually started to concede more goals now in the last few weeks than probably they did in the
opening
a few games, if you know what I mean. Now, that's probably come with Longford trying to be that bit more expansive because they're still by a good bit in a way the lowest goal scorers in the division. And like there has been positives, two goals against Finn Harps, two against Wexford, scored against Athlone. So they've started to score a couple of goals a late, but maybe that's leaving them that bit more vulnerable at the back. But you had to throw away 2 points when they were 2-0 up with just minutes to play, then it's a hard one to pick, and
they were comfortable as well. Like Harps didn't really create that many chances, so it was a great result for them. But look, these things happen. Longford have a good opportunity now to
they do, but it puts, against it, BT. it puts the pressure on Longford because all of a sudden they're five outside the playoffs. So if you don't win that game against Treaty, you're very much cut adrift. So must win game for Longford on Friday. Is there any other of those results you want to touch on?
Highlight Wexford against UCD. That was a great result for them. Kind of because they were going through a bit of a.
Yeah, they lost their previous three, but I did say I think that was one of the few games I got right in the predictions league. I said to you it wouldn't be a massive surprise at home that they do seem to be able to turn it on at home. They actually have the second best home record after Cork, so that wasn't a huge surprise for me. It's just their lack of consistency is what kills Wexford. Yeah, no, that's it. I think we're moving into the predictions league. Let's just check how things went last week, actually. I think I've kind of hinted at it already, but you had another very good week. So last week, week 16, you were the top player again with 8 points. The listeners, forgive me, I can't remember who played for the listeners last week, 5 points, and I got 4 points last week. So league table looks like this. You're top on 91. Listener second, 74, and I am rock bottom on 66. We're joined this week by a Shells and Arsenal fan. His username is JHF Hive, whatever that means. But I was taking a bit of a stroll through Dundalk town yesterday, the sunshine. I said, get an ice cream, have a walk through the town, and walk past the square. And geez, there was Arsenal fans appearing out of everywhere. I don't know where they've been for the last 22 years, but walk past a group of, I wouldn't say they were youngsters now. I'd say they were, you know, middle 20s singing Arsenal chants in the middle of the square.
And the government standing by doing nothing about it, huh?
This time last year, I was unfortunately dragged to a pub that was showing the Liverpool game on the last day when they beat Spurs, whatever it was, 5 or 6-1. And I had to watch grown men lifting a fake trophy and kissing a TV screen. So I've witnessed some bad things in Dundalk in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, that's a real affront to your existence. But look.
We'll focus on the Shelburne side of things here with JHF. And we'll look at his first division predictions to start with. UCD against Athlone. He's going for a 1-0 win to UCD. That looks to be fairly on the money, I would say.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 to UCD here.
Going to follow you on that. Nice and short, nice and sweet. We'll move on to Cork City against Finn Harps, and I'll jump in with an early prediction there. 2-0 to Cork City.
3-0 to Cork City.
Okay, and JHF going 2-0 to Cork City. Longford Town against Treaty United. This is a must-win game for Longford. Treaty be looking to pull themselves off the bottom as well. How do you see this going?
Definitely saw enough in Longford on Friday that they can get enough at the latter end of the field and convert some of the chances that they create. I will say, just on Longford, one of the complaints that we had from them was that they weren't shooting when they got into the right positions. That seemed to have been rectified somewhat on Friday.
Thanks for listening, Liz.
Yeah. So I think we can see more of that on Friday next in Bishopsgate.
Well, it'll need to be right in the top bloody bin because Jack Brady is he's got form in this fixture, it's fair to say. I'm going to go 2-1 Longford. What are you going with?
2-1 Longford. 2-0 Longford.
Okay, JHF going for 2-1 Longford as well. Cove Ramblers against Kerry Munster Derby.
Kerry have been okay of late, but they've gotten some.
Away form is garbage though. Bottom of the league for away form. No wins this season.
Yeah. 2-0 to Cove.
2-0 to Cove. I'll go 2. Will I go 1-0 or will I go 2-0? What's Cove's last few results been like? 2-1, 1-0, 5-1 loss, 2-1 loss. They're not keeping many clean sheets. I'll go 2-1 to Cove. And JHF going for a draw. He's going 1-1. Bray Wanderers against Wexford. We've flown through these first division games. Cap it off for us, Gary.
This is third against fifth. Only a point between them. And this is in the Carlisle, right?
Fifth against third. Yeah, Bray against Wexford in the Carlisle, yeah.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
We didn't really touch on that Kerry Bray game, but Kerry got a late equaliser in that one. So they'll feel like they dropped 2 points there, Bray. They're on a decent run of form at the minute. 2 wins and a draw in their last 3, scoring plenty of goals as well. As for Wexford, we've touched on their home form, but they're away from home here. Only 1 win from 8 away from home. Sorry, what did you go for there?
1-1.
I think there'll be a winner. And if it is a draw, it'll be a high score one, maybe like a 2-2. Have I gone for a draw anywhere yet? I haven't. Might be a good time to start. I'll go for a 2-2 draw here.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
And JHF going for a 2-1 win to Bray. Into the Premier Division, Sligo Rovers against Bohemians.
How much hope and love will Sligo have gotten from that win on Friday?
A lot from it, you'd think, yeah.
I'm going to go for...
Bulls haven't been beaten outside of Dublin yet this season. Very good away record.
Yeah. They've decent enough, a few journeys outside of Dublin. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
I think this could be a draw, all right. I see JHF has gone for the same, so I'll follow you. I'll go 1-1 there. Dundalk against Derry. Obviously, I actually haven't looked, and I'm sitting in the Bar One studio here, so I could look up odds very easily, and we probably will when we do our charity bet in a few minutes. But I'd imagine Dundalk are favourites here, and probably fairly clear favourites. But my concern with Dundalk would be the fact that they're letting control of games slip. And that's what happened when they played Derry earlier in the season. I was at that one. It ended 2-2. It would have been an absolute travesty if they didn't get something out of the game. They nearly came away empty-handed, but they should have won the game, really. I would just be afraid that they might get their noses in front and then end up letting it slip. I think this could end up being a draw. I'm going to go 1-1, but the Dundalk should definitely be targeting all 3 points here.
What concerns me is the lack of goals from Derry of late. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Derry, to Dundalk.
Okay, and JHF going for a comprehensive 3-1 win to Dundalk. I think the alarm bells will be ringing if that happens up in the Brandywell. Drogheda United against Waterford. This is a huge game for Waterford, really. One of their probably direct.
Is it back in the Brandywell?
No, that one's in Oriel on Friday.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Drogheda Waterford. As I was just saying there. So Waterford would probably view Drogheda as one of the teams that might end up being around them at some point this season.
Yeah,
I would be a little bit concerned about what I've seen from Drogheda of late. I know you gave me a bit of a slap across the knuckles when I mentioned a couple of months ago, could they get pulled into a bit of a scrap? I would be concerned that they could end up in that ninth spot. Not saying it's going to happen, but I definitely think that's probably the objective for this season is to not finish ninth.
For Drogheda?
Unless they have a good summer window and get a striker in, because I don't see a whole pile going on up top there for them, as Waterford do have the firepower.
Yeah.
Tricky game.
Very tricky game. Has there been a slight renaissance in Waterford?
Slight, yeah.
Hmm.
They did beat Drogheda earlier this season. Now it was in the RSC.
And it was a penalty situation.
Oh, sorry, that was only a couple of days ago, wasn't it? Yeah. So they were, and Drogheda, again, that was a game they probably should have been further ahead in, weren't clinical. Will the same happen here?
I'm going to go 1-0 Drogheda.
Yeah, and just looking here, Waterford haven't won in any of their last 4 visits and have lost 3 of them. I'm going to stick with my guns here and go for a draw. I go 1-1. Sorry, what was your prediction?
1-0 Drogheda.
1-0 Drogheda. And JHF going for a 2-1 win to Waterford. I wouldn't be stunned if that happened. Shelburne against Galway. Shells need to build on that win, that home win recently, with another one here if possible.
Yeah, I could definitely see them getting it. I'm just not... I don't know why, but I just don't see Galway coming out with anything here.
More leaky this season, aren't they, than previous years? 28 conceded in 17.
Yeah, that's a lot of goals. Now, I know they conceded 4 the other night, which obviously doesn't help the old...
They're scoring slightly more, so maybe it balances out, but at the end of the day, they're still only 1 point above the relegation playoff.
That's part of the problem, and I think
they're only 5 points behind Shells, and they've got the game in hand on them as well. So look, it's just
they're only 10 points behind the champion or the leaders, and you know they're only 5 games away from the Champions League. Who do you think is going to win the Champions League? While I think of it,
I'll be in work, so I'll have it on, but I probably won't get watching it as closely as I'd like. But I wouldn't have a massive strong opinion on it, to be honest.
Yeah, no, me. No, I could give a shit. Yeah,
no.
No, the only reason I thought of it at all was because you said it's on at 5 o'clock instead of 8.
Yeah,
mad enough. Where is it?
Budapest, Puskás Arena. Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll see some dramatics like we saw earlier on or late last year. Just can't believe we're not going to the World Cup, lad.
I'd probably be shouting for PSG. I don't want to have to walk down Dundalk and watch boys.
Yeah, fair enough. Right. What game were we on?
Shells Galway. These always seem to be tight affairs. You're going 2-1 to Shelburne. Yeah, these always seem to be tight games.
Yeah.
1-1 earlier in the season. Lots of draws between these two. And given Shelburne's old home form.
Yeah.
You'd be worried about another droppage of points here. We've done all right on the road as well.
I'd still be concerned with the...
Sure, most recent away game, the hammered Sligo. Now, I know this is a step up on that, but... I'm very torn between whether to go for a Shells win or a draw here.
Oh, God, direct you.
What's our listener gone for? And he's a Shells man. He's going 2-1 Shells, so I'll roll into positivity there. 2-1 Shells. Rovers Pats Friday night live on the telly.
Oh, a big one. I would be leaning towards Rovers.
A couple of Pats fans recently, very unimpressed with their last couple of performances, whatever's in the water there at Richmond
Park. Yeah. You know, they don't capitalise, as you mentioned before, on slip-ups. Now they have to actually look at the team that they're not capitalising on when Rovers do slip up. I'm going to go for... Could there be a few goals here, do you think?
No, I think it'll be tactical enough, this.
1-0 Rovers, so.
1-0 Rovers. Rovers at home here as well. JHF going 3-1 Rovers.
I was
going
to say 3-2, and then...
Well, yeah, no, I don't think it'll be that high scoring. Now, look, Rovers, I think they'll admit themselves, were not excellent last night against Bowes. Fortunate to win the game. Poor against Sligo, poor against Dundalk. Pats have been quite of late. You know what? 0-0.
Yeah, I can see it. Hopefully not.
So, Rovers actually let me down for the charity bet last week, would you believe? The one team we thought was an absolute cert.
Raging.
Anyway,
I wasn't close, was I?
No, all three of your selections were wrong last week.
Okay.
Dire stuff. I'm prepared this week. We're going to move on to the Bar One Bet and charity bets. And I've already locked mine in for this week. I'm going with Cork City to win at home to Finn Harps, Longford to win at home to Treaty, and UCD to win at home to Athlone. So three home teams. Oh, and I've got Shells in there as well. Another home team. So four home wins. A €10 stake there will return me €88.25. That includes a 5% bonus from our friends at Bar One Betting. And there's also early payout there. So if any of our teams go 2 up and don't win, we still get paid out as a winner. So that's what I'm going for. Gary, what have you got?
That would have been a great deal for me.
For Longford,
I'm going to go for Dundalk.
Okay.
Shelburne.
Yeah, they are favourites, by the way. I was questioning that earlier. 13 to 10 Dundalk. Shelburne, yep.
Town.
Okay.
Cork.
Want a price check there?
Yeah, I might.
Just shy of 10 to 1.
I'd have to Luda finished.
You're happy with that?
Yep.
Okay, 5% Akaboo supplied there, early payout on those as well, and with the little boost, that means 114.87 back if you are a winner.
Better than a kick in the hole. Please, yep. God, I can add to the kitty.
Yeah, so thanks to Barrow & Betton for their continued support. Markets and odds and offers and everything else you need for this Friday night's matches can be found on the Barrow & Betton app. Gambling for over 18s only. Always gamble with care. See gamblingcare.ie. That brings us to the hotline. Now, it's kind of split across a few different tweets this week, Gary.
But you're well prepared.
Well, no, I have it here ready to go. So I've got four screens in front of me this week. So, I have it ready to go. Just reading out a few tweets from last night to start with. Mark M, a Bulls fan, comes down to decisions. Flores is recently back from injury, plays 90 minutes Friday and starts tonight. Fine, but you've a fit left back in Burke sitting in the stand and you bring Todd on left back despite him getting roasted in Dundalk. Meanwhile, McGovern goal and Watts assist are the Rover subs. We touched on that, the impact of the Rover subs compared to the Bulls subs. I found it very strange when I seen Todd coming on at left back last night because I was at that game in Oriel and he was absolutely roasted. So I was surprised at that decision.
Both goals come in from the left as well. I know the second one was probably a bit helter-skelter with the long throw and cleared or corner cleared or whatever. So maybe that's been a bit harsh, but... Yeah, it was a strange one. I didn't really get what the approach was there. Bit of a strange selection, all right. Especially, because Flores was out for he was out for a handful of weeks, wasn't he?
Yeah, the last couple of seasons, they seem to be mad to play midfielders at fullback. As Mark says there, you've got Burke sitting in the stands. Strange. More tweets on that game then. Jer O'Brien, not that one. Gary is going to have a field day with that Bulls result. I should say I have no idea how we have lost the match, but I do. Colm Jordan, we've been talking about referees a lot recently, but he's got some praise for last night's ref. The referee in the Bulls Rovers game was excellent last night. That should be the bar for League of Ireland referees, and that referee was Kevin O'Sullivan as well, so important.
Yeah, he wasn't there was nothing, and even like there was a bit of a, I should call it a GA melee, as they like to say in international sport. Was it Glenn Cronin?
Yeah, what was he at there?
Yeah, I don't know. Just walk away, lad. You've won the game. You've snatched it. You've snatched the win in the Dublin Derby. You know, just piss off. You know, don't get involved.
That was a bit bizarre. But the ref let a lot go in a good sense. Sometimes you can obviously overdo that and lose control of it. But
There was no shite, I thought. Yeah, it was very good. Quite happy with that. There was never a time, oh, Jesus, ref. You know, it wasn't, oh, what are you doing or anything like that. So fair play to Kevin O'Sullivan. Is, you know, good to point out the refs when they do have a good game.
Yeah. Brian Doherty, here's a good one, Gary. Is Tiernan Lynch the worst manager in League of Ireland history? There's a reply from a Derry fan saying, considering the squad at his disposal, yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and I actually, you know, when he said it first, I was like, oh, you know, that's funny, and actually, it's probably as sincere as you get. You know, it's not taking the piss or anything like that. It's like, is he the worst manager ever? I don't believe so, but like, he'd be definitely throwing his hat into the ring for it. No question about it. There's probably a lot of managers that we're forgetting.
And like, I'm sure there's been like many calamity. Actually, here's one. Like, if you think of absolute calamity appointments, Noel King to Dundalk. Sorry, was it Noel King? It was Noel King, wasn't it?
It was Noel King, but like, he actually got some good results.
I think his first game or two, and then it felt shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was comical stuff. Sheehy down in Waterford.
Actually, can I restate the question, even though I haven't?
Waterford have had a few, but they're like freak kind of things where clubs were in the shit. This is a man with the biggest budget probably in the league, bar none. Go and sign whoever you want. And as we've touched on, just awful to watch, awful results. I can see the basis for Brian's question. There's hard to say.
Yeah, and I totally get it. And not only that, like, how many times last year did we say, just get a bit toxic up at the Brandywell?
Yeah.
They're not happy up there. They don't like this, they don't like that. And they were right all the time. I do, I know I mentioned it already, and I sound a bit hurt. But like, where is the characters on the field here?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, where's the? There hasn't been a lad grabbing anything, any game by the scruff of the neck, going, right, I just need to drag some of these.
I also think, and I very much grasp your point there. I do think the manager's the public face of the company as such. And I would say that Tiernan Lynch doesn't do a whole lot to exude confidence, even in his media, as a lot of Derry fans have picked up on the same lines being regurgitated over and over about training and all, oh, we're working our socks off and all this. But like there's interviews there where, again, the game in Oriel going on about, I think, did he say they dominated the game? Or I don't want to put words in his mouth, but you'll remember me saying, geez, was this lad watching the same game as everyone else? And that's happened a few times this season. And I think he actually said it at one stage in that game, oh, we did so well to come from behind when they were actually ahead. You know, even though his handling of the media isn't helping the situation either. So, no, I can see where Brian's coming from.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point.
That's probably a good bit of content. That's probably a good bit of content for next week's show for our listeners. If you want to get us on the tweet machine, or again, if you want to get us on the email, betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com, and maybe tell us even who your club's worst appointment was in history. Or other kind of infamous managerial appointments that you can remember down the years. That could be a good one for next week.
I just want to make one final point. Even if you want to gauge it a bit by a manager that has managed at least a season.
Mm.
If you look at it like that, then yes, I think he's one of the worst. He's up there with the worst.
Right, let's take a look at some other hotline content then. Looking back to Friday night, Rona McCarthy had a very good tweet that actually did serious numbers in the end. He said 90% of the average League of Ireland fan experience, and it's just it's like a chart, but it's all over the place. We're so back, we're back, it's so over, it's over for real. Very, very good tweet from Ronan there. Keith Murphy, gonna have a drink or a shot every time you say streaky in relation to Bose on next week's pod. Well, they were very streaky last night, so...
Did we say that?
Yeah, I did. I've been saying that a lot lately.
All right, okay. That's your word of the month, is it?
Yeah, take your tip of the choice there, Keith. Sean Hip Hop, take nothing for granted in this league, that's for sure. Gavin Moynihan, Jesus, lads, you must be sick to town through that one away. Pity no title race again, but don't think the First Division has been this close between the rest for a while. Every club outside the playoffs would believe they can sneak in. Cork City FC Rebel, best league in the world. Pity Pats are shit. Could be 4 or 5 points ahead. Eric, Rovers fan tonight, was a short story on how complacency has let us down on and off the pitch. It's the reason we'll never be as big as we could. What a waste of potential. Interesting. Declan Crosby, Drogheda need a good window. We need a striker. Doesn't everyone?
Yeah, big time.
Owen, heartbreak, but know the areas where we need to badly improve. And it's not the management, he says. Of course, Owen is a Bray fan who seems to be rolling back on his comments week by week regarding efforting up there. Colm, two contenders for goal of the season in Eamon DC Park. Dawson's sumptuous goal curving into the top corner, topped by McCarthy's Worldie. Without a shadow of a doubt, that wins the goal of the month, regardless of what happens on Monday or Friday. Can't remember seeing a better goal in the League of Ireland.
I think Devoy's goal was better than McCarthy's.
I've actually seen a better goal than the two of them in Eamon DC Park. Not sure if you remember Mark Salmon taking it on the chest. It was 2014 because the World Cup was on, because I remember saying you'll not see a better goal than that at the World Cup. And the very next day James Rodriguez scored an identical goal for Colombia where he took it on the chest and buried it in.
Janie Mac. Yeah. Well, that was an identical goal, wasn't it? James must have been watching, was he?
He was, yeah.
Fair play to him.
Town destroyed Galway. That was a 3-0. Don Cowan and Gary Shaw, I'm fairly sure.
One of the good nights.
Glorious evening up in Galway. Yeah.
I don't think I watched that in the last year anyway. It's very fresh in my memory.
It's on YouTube, which wouldn't have been the done thing at the time. Yeah. Paul O'Brien, disastrous night for Waterford is what he has to say. And I think we've got a couple of other tweets here. The men who say football, the Dundalk fan cast, they want to know who's Gary Tippin to win the Leinster Senior Cup now. In case you're not up to speed, Gary, while we've been recording the pod this evening, St. Pat's have beaten Dundalk at Oriel by 1-0. I'm not sure who's in the other semi-final or if it'll ever be played.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, with all the there was a tweet, Bo's fan tweet. I don't know how genuine these feelings are on the old socials, particularly from Bo's fans. There's a lot of shy talk from the Bo's fan base online, but so there's a lot of particular frustration with the result last night. And mentions of, like, 16 years since we won a trophy and all this other gear.
Duffer brought that up too, didn't he?
Yeah. I suppose, like, all you can do is, like, keep going until you win one. Like, I know that's terrible, but, you know, and useless information. Like, we all know, we have a lucky stuff to... The only other solution is fold. You know what I mean? Like, it's just forget about it. Like, so... Either you keep playing until you win one, or you just not play. He's getting a very long time for a big
I've not been disingenuous. I don't know who's in that other Leinster Senior Cup semi-final, and I don't even know where to look to find out.
Yeah.
So,
or care.
I'm sorry, I can't. You can't answer that one. I can't answer that one. But Pats are into the final, so well done. They played a very youthful team as well, whereas Dundalk did have some players coming back from injury, the likes of Leo Gaxa, a couple other first-teamers as well. So that was a good result for Pats tonight, actually. On the Dundalk theme, Damien MC has something that I actually meant to bring up on last week's show, and I just skipped my mind, but he says, sorry, this is a bit late, but the issues of destruction of facilities by away fans, we cry about League of Ireland facilities, but then fans destroy it anyway.
Yeah,
this is a real bugbearer of mine, Gary, because we talk on this podcast about how the government needs to support the league, how they need to fund better facilities. And then when a club like Dundalk, who we have rightly hammered down the years for the facilities in Oriel Park,
right,
particularly the facilities for away supporters, they actually go out and spend a few bob. They got a government grant, put in a new block of toilets, and okay, twice already this season now, those toilets have been targeted by away fans. I think someone from Dundalk's, the Trust put up a post a couple of weeks ago about Bo's fans. Now, I actually spoke to someone at Dundalk to find out how bad the damage was that night, and they said it was minor enough, mostly just the place covered in stickers and like toilets and sinks been blocked up, which isn't great behaviour. But I actually did see quite a few Dundalk fans plastering the draw of the toilets in stickers the other day. I think that's fairly commonplace behaviour. They could be scraped down. It's not the end of the world. But the pictures that were posted after the Rovers game there recently, stuff pulled off walls. Again, sinks and toilets, it looked quite obvious, clearly blocked up deliberately, graffiti, just absolutely savage behaviour. And this is, again, at a time when we're crying out for government support and better facilities. Ooh. These same people, if the next time they go down to Oriel, if the toilets are locked up and they're told, there's one Portaloo for 500 of you, they'll be the same ones tweeting this podcast. It's mindless behaviour, mindless.
Yeah, it is mindless, and it is incredibly frustrating. You know, a lot of people that work in at grounds around the country are a lot of volunteers. And you know, they work quite hard in the spare time that they have with all the other commitments in their lives. And then, you know, it is tough going to see, like, you go and, you know, a couple of days after a game or whatever, you see that mess left behind for you.
I have to say, credit to Dundalk again. We've been critical in the past of, I remember going up there a couple of years ago for the first pre-season game of the year in Oriel. It was Longford against Dundalk, and Oriel, it was like it hadn't been cleaned in 50 years. There was shite lying everywhere. The place was a disgrace, and their owner at the time came out actually and said afterwards he was embarrassed with the condition the stadium was in that night. And we criticised them before for not keeping the place just generally tidy, whatever about, you know, the lack of facilities there, keep it tidy. I have to say, there's people from the Trust up there after every game now of a weekend up there cleaning the place. And you'd really notice the difference when you go up to Oriel this season. It's in much better condition. And I know they've spoken about how they can improve the away end, and they're looking at solutions there, but it will take, you know, putting money into it. And they're now thinking, well, why would we bother like building a Bose-like stand or anything here if this is the thanks you're going to get from away fans?
Yeah, no, true. That's very true. But also, like, is this going on anywhere else? Like, Rovers played Bose and Dalymount last night. I'm sure they had, you know, water.
I suppose you don't come across new toilet blocks every day of the week. You know, some of the some of the toilet blocks, there's not much to destroy in them. I mean, that whole the home end toilets in Drogheda really are, Jesus Christ, they were out of date in the 70s. They're not a drop of soap running it or a hand dryer or not, and it's actually disgraceful. But
yeah.
You know, this is a new block of toilets that has gone in there. I haven't been in them, so I can't speak to what level they're up to, but I'm sure it's better than pissing in a Portaloo or whatever. So if you're going into these facilities and you're deliberately damaging them, you're only cutting your own nose off, because the league is not going to progress with this behaviour.
No, it's not. But also, like, you know, what do you say to a lad that destroys a toilet? You know, you know, it's a lot.
Again, it goes back to the thing. I suppose there was some people complaining about, I suppose, they seen it maybe a bit of over policing going on Friday at the Loud Derby, but that is the case. That's what you get. And people have said, well, Dundalk should put a steward at the toilet door. You know,
what's he going to do?
Exactly. But even aside from that,
hold your man in the cubicle. Let me check this.
At the same time, we're the same folk that will give out about over-policing, and we're treated like savages, and we're viewed like, everyone's viewed like an English 1970 hooligan. Yeah. And then at the same time, when we're given a bit of freeway, we piss all over it.
Yeah, literally.
So,
yeah.
Like, you know, come on, have a bit of cop on. But no, I'm glad Damien brought that up. And the last tweet from the hotline this week is Dave, and he just quotes a Kerry tweet, which says, unbeaten at Mount Hawk Park in five. They've gone unbeaten against UCD, Treaty, Cork City, Wexford and Bray. So some very good results of late. But
absolutely,
you know,
fantastic.
You are still second bottom. So
yeah, and just to turn some of them unbeaten results, because I think all of them are draws.
They beat Kerry, they beat Wexford as well, but they drew at Treaty, which, you know, isn't anything to shout about. So
yeah, hopefully Longford can not draw with Treaty and claim all 3 points on Friday. Be a good little tonic. Now, look, would you have taken a 2-2 draw away to Harps? You probably would have before ball was kicked. So, needs all he can do is win the next one, and hopefully they do that on Friday. Looking forward to the Ireland game.
I am actually. Yeah, good to see Jack Moylan's back in. I know that was only by accident because of pullouts or whatever, withdrawals, but hopefully he gets on the pitch again. Be exciting to see a couple of the new players, hopefully a couple of League of Ireland players get capped between either that game or the Canada game. But looking forward to that one. Won't make Canada. It's a strange feeling to miss any sort of Ireland game these days. We're usually at the mall, so that would be a bit strange.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking forward to the Aviva on Thursday, and then I suppose it's a bit of a novelty for us to be in Longford of a Friday. So yeah, plenty to look forward to over the next few days.
Yeah, busy few days of football, is right.
We'll find the World Cup then, on top of all that.
And just on that, while you mentioned that, apart from Ireland not being there, you know, obviously we're well used to Ireland not being in the World Cup. Are you finding it a non-event?
Yeah, I am.
Do you think that's related to Ireland, or do you think it's more
used to Ireland not being in World Cups, and generally I'd get excited. I can't really remember, like, there was a lot of shite about the last World Cup, but I think I do remember getting a bit of a buzz the day or two before, going out and buying a paper and getting the wall chart and all that. So I think I was excited by the time we got there. Maybe I'll be the same. I see in the office here, we've actually printed out our own World Cup chart. So maybe if we get a bit of a sweepstakes or something going, I might get a bit more excited. I suppose the times of some of the games isn't ideal. And the 48, like, I've said to you before, I don't watch the Champions League now at all until the knockout stages, and probably until the quarterfinals and semifinals. And I just fear, am I going to be the same with the World Cup? 104 games. Usually I would watch every single game. I can't see myself doing that at this World Cup.
I will say one thing. The last World Cup for a working man,
savage,
was sensational.
Yeah.
You know, you drag yourself out of bed for 10, you get the coffee going, you watch, you know, Ghana and, you know, whoever.
Japan or whoever, Japan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, great game. And then you barely have your, you know, you barely get the kettle on then for your, you know, morning
1 or 2 o'clock kickoff.
And then you're back into, another one. you're eating the lunch, and then you're into another one and another one. Like, it was sensational for them few weeks. So I am looking forward to that. I do definitely with the like as a spectator, as a watcher on the telly, the last World Cup was probably one of the best ever.
Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah.
Especially with when they started adding it. Remember, there was like 12 minutes additional time, but did someone get killed here or something?
There was the night Spain and Germany nearly went out of the same group. Japan nearly knocked both of them out. I think Germany went out of the groups, didn't they, Spain? But even this one, like, best third place teams get through. It takes away, you're spending, I don't know how many weeks the group stages go on for, with 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it is. You're going through all of that to trim from 48 to 32.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It's way too bloated, yeah. So probably not as excited as I have been in the past, to answer your question.
Yeah, fair enough. I suppose I think when we're in it, it'll be good. You know, when you get in that far.
Mm.
I think that's fair. But yeah.
I think I'm going to be commentating on a couple of the games, hopefully. So that will obviously pique my interest as well, keep me engaged with it. So
you'll be doing all your homework for...
Yeah, I need to get started on that soon now. So,
I'm just on the World Cup. I think I saw in the news there. I think Pico went off today.
Yeah,
to join up with
Cape Verde.
Cape Verde. So, best luck to him. It would be a good story.
Anang's in the Ghana squad as well, of course.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he a shot of playing, do you think? Or no, who's their main keeper?
I think they named 5 goalkeepers in their squad.
What the hell, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez, everybody gets a ticket. Jeez, if you wore a pair of gloves in Ghana at all, you would have got on the flight. So yeah, fair play. All right, yep, shouldn't it?
That'll do. Yeah, good pod. Lots of ground covered. So as ever, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, do leave us a rating or a review. And if you're on Spotify in particular, leave us a comment there. We love that. That's always good fun. Probably should start reading them out on the pod, really. apologies. But again, if you want to get us with a longer correspondence other than Twitter, the email address is betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. Do let us know who's been your worst managerial appointment in your club's history, and some other infamous managerial appointments that you can recall down the years. We'd love to get your viewpoint on that in time for next week's show. And as ever, you can get us on Twitter, Between the Stripes, and we're on TikTok as well, and of course the members club for our exclusive content is available as well. You'll find the links to that across our social channels. But for this week, from Kieran Burr, from Gary Riley, from our sponsors Quinn AV and from Bar One Betting, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between the Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.